Are there any questions or anything to say? I've already gotten myself a little emotional, and what I want to tell you first is might get me more, so that's okay. Seeing Walter here laughing, chuckling at me in front of me just reminds me of the first time I got emotional in a Dharma talk, and that's how Walter guessed I was pregnant. So this time I'm not. We've had everything else, but we haven't had. I'm not pregnant. So it's a strange time for me, where nearly every day I hear that someone has died from different parts of my life, and I do know a lot of people, so it's not like the end of the world or something, it just is happening that way. But just a few days after arriving here, my mother's younger brother died, and he had been struggling with cancer for some years, so it wasn't a big surprise. And it so happened that my mother, so his sister, and my cousin, his daughter, were the ones who were with him in the hospital a lot the last few days, along with all the medical teams and tests and checks and that unfortunately seem to be necessary but don't allow rest. And so my cousin mentioned to my mother, she was too shy to mention to me directly. She said, I remember a few years ago I was having a hard time, and she asked me to give her some kind of distance help, meditation together, kind of meditation treatment. And so we did that, and apparently it helped so much that she felt so much better she forgot to tell me how helpful it was, so I didn't know. Until my mom called me here just about 3 weeks ago and said, what about doing one of those for Marvin, my uncle? And I, of course, I immediately said, yes, let's do three in a row. Every day, once a day, three times, at least. And I'm glad that I just let that weird thought three times come to my mind, because it was the last 3 days of his life. And the contact with him through this weird thing, I know it sounds really weird, just lying down and somehow connecting with a man in a hospital in Florida, and his daughter and his sister. And it was incredible to be part of that with him, from the inside, from the outside. Because I was so far away, I could really be with him inside. The ones who were in the room with him, they were juggling the doctors and the tests and the checks and the embarrassment of trying to meditate in a hospital room. And it was a remarkable process, and it felt like he was doing what felt like the work that he could do while he had a body, as fast as he could, while he had the chance. And then that part was over, And something also remarkable happened. It was already remarkable to feel him just doing what he needed to do. And if we could have that honesty and courage now, where somewhere we know where we're hung up and where we hold back and all of that, and just to go for it. Without hesitation or drama or anything, just something about having a body, we have the chance to do something that we need to do. And he wasn't even opening an eye, so it's not like jogging or whatever, necessarily. Subtle, intense doing of some kind. But anyway, what I want to mention most today was when that activity was ceasing, calming. And then what we felt together was he surrounded by his mother's love, which was so different from what I felt before, so unexpected, so clear, so pure. It was definitely my grandmother, his mother. And it was this mother love that possibly never happened between them in that way when he was a child and she was a woman. But certainly happened at the end of his life. And I feel like I have to say, like, by the way, I have no idea how, if this is true, I may have made it up, etc., but it happened. So you can take it as a metaphor or whatever, but to me, I can feel it. And one of the beautiful things about it was personal. It was that woman and that man, completely surrounded and filled, but so pure that it was as if for all of us, like as if available to us. So not tied or limited to that mother and that child. Surrounded and filled completely. As a possibility for all of us. And maybe it's something that we get a dose of on the way in and on the way out. Maybe that's what happens, I don't know. And then we keep looking for someone to give it to us. Some situation and some meditation to give it to us. But that, I would definitely call it love. And definitely for no reason other than being alive. And definitely personal, and definitely not personal, not deserved, not avoidable, even. And so this word sahaj, that I mentioned last time. Sahaja. With, born with. And we have to think about being born in not just biological terms. Creativity not just in biological or physical terms. And if we try to feel our way to what we're born with, not just as a physical body, it makes sense physically and mentally and in so many ways that if we're born with it, we're mother and child. We're part of the possibility of giving. Sorry, I just see Katorin listening in this way. Our search has been how to be that child that gets surrounded and filled. And we stunt the growth of the mother. We keep stopping the part that also wants to be that love. That is the source of that. Because we're not exactly sure what we're looking for, we get confused. Could we be sure that we're looking to be in that and to be that and be less confused? Sahaj as what's already given. A deep heart that's already been given, and that we can sit inside. We can dare to sit inside. And we know when we do, so we feel connection. We feel the radiance of ordinary things. We see the beauty of something we don't like. We accept the freedom of something that we wish we could keep. And something in us whispers, this is your place. Doesn't it? When we're in the place, there is also, so when we're in that place, we're inside the deep heart that life already has for us. And one thing we find is fewer words happen. Fewer words are important. And some words are very important. So these last couple of weeks, so many people collaborating, working together to get things to happen that otherwise wouldn't have happened. To get paperwork through, to get a body moved, to get a refrigerator box for a body. The main thing and the main communication was wordless. Standing with the police at 1 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a silent retreat. Every once in a while their radio blaring like rah, 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 the cow has been stolen from village Padiapalatu. And in India, I think they're kind of proud that in the culture, the closer you are to someone, the less you say. And especially the less you say, please, thank you, sorry. So just an example was one of the times trying to get paperwork through, standing with police officers and one of the people from this ashram that I've hardly had contact with before. And I can also add some context. My personal story is I see a police car, and I've hardly ever done anything wrong in my life, but I see a police car anywhere in the world and I get nervous. I get nervous going into a bank to deposit my own money into my own bank account. I hate the phone. I hate making phone calls. If I have to phone someone about something official, I will put it off for months and months and months, not just like hours. And I was on the phone with sensitive issues, with official issues, with everyone in town. Also, the third thing on my don't do list is never ask a favor. And how many favors I've asked this week. And so we were asking favors to get the police to do some work in a very sensitive issue. My phone was hot. And it was totally fine, first of all. It was totally fine. Because we were working together. But the moment I want to express was with one of the people from this ashram who was there doing his part, I was doing my part. And we just looked at each other in one moment, one pause. And it was such a serious situation standing outside the general hospital. We need the approval for the autopsy in 40 minutes or it's not gonna happen. And he just smiled at me, very lightly, genuinely, like timelessly. So in our inside, there's the chance to practice feeling in a very definite, clear way, the working together. And knowing we're each doing our part without talking about the plan beforehand. And not only because there's not always time to talk about the plan, which often there isn't. We often actually use the time that was meant for doing the thing to make the plan, even when it's not a serious situation. Even when there would be time for a plan, sometimes just leaving more room for that kind of collaboration that can happen. That we're each doing our part, and a look could be enough to know that that is the case, or it isn't. Do you have that photocopy? So inside our deep heart, that's one aspect that can happen. A kind of wordless friendship. Not anti-word, but less words. Are there any questions? Or anything to add or say? Bring up. Another thing that we would have noticed happening when we're in our place is a lovely phrase that my friend Tracy, I mentioned her on the last retreat, she shared a poem about love and yes. And the phrase is transcending. So transcending usually means going beyond. And there's usually a sense of going above. I think it is more properly going across. But we give it the sense of going, like, I'll be with the angels while you do the dishes, basically. Transcending down into the body. That's one thing that can happen when we're in our place. So that everything is included, again and again, more and more. There's a word from one of the Kabir songs that I read last time, and it's really funny because through all the handwritten copy of my friend's book and then her handwritten Hindi and the scan that cut off the end of the line in a couple of cases. So there's this one word that for some reason I read it several times as boon, and I kept coughing, and then I would say, oh no, let me correct myself, it's bean, but it's actually jean for subtle. So duante ati jean. I kept saying duante ati boon bean. It's jean. Much more subtle than smoke. So like smoke as a poor example for how subtle the friendship is that happens when we're in our place. Jean. And I love that jean, now that I have it spelled correctly in Hindi on my paper. It means transparent. It means also flimsy, which in English would be like Petra's paper dragon. If you were here and that instructions, the dream and the current and the dragon, the dinosaur, the ancient dinosaur, and then it's made of paper. So flimsy means it's not durable, it doesn't hold up. And then it's now in the current Hindi, jina, means like transparent, filmy, flimsy, sleazy in current Hindi. So sleazy would be like dirty in the sense how people use the word dirty and as sexual, like yucky sexual kind of. Is that a good enough? And also, so jina as an adjective are those kind of qualities. So it brings up an image of like a see-through costume or whatever. In current Hindi, that's. And it also can be a noun that means ladder, which I just love all of these things together. Transparent, flimsy. So like, if you hit it, it won't hit back. Sleazy and a ladder. Kabir's friend. So I talked about shameless friendship, so as one kind of thing that can happen when we can't be anywhere but our heart sometimes. Either because we're in our flow or we're in such difficulty that it's the only place we can be. And the glass wall that can come, and we could feel alone, and we could feel judged, and then it's like, well, judge me. I'm doing my best. And I won't judge you back. Because it's not even a glass wall. We can see through it. When we get close, something passes through it. And in 1 second, that person could be in, you could be out, the in-out drops away. And so we stop being as interested in catching a glimpse of our reflection in something shiny in a mirror. We stop looking for reflected light. And we find ourselves in as a source of light. So in our place, I kept trying to get there. When we're in our seat, when we're inside our deep heart that has already been given, that is giving. There's not just a kind of clarity and relative ease in feeling what I'm doing. There's also a radiating that we can start to sense. Maybe a warmth radiating, maybe a light radiating, maybe an expansiveness happening. And it's subtle and it's powerful. So jina talks to us in echoes about what all can be included as we allow just simply being in my place, in connection, in okayness, inside my deep heart, this deep heart, this transcending down into the body, and not the body as only a big heavy thing that's going to die. Yes, and a body that just has boring needs, bothersome needs. Yes, also. But also the body as transparent, flimsy, sleazy, and a ladder. And so please allow also what we've considered dirty, sleazy, not appropriate, to come in, to be inside the deep heart with you. To see that the sense of dirtiness is flimsy and transparent. And to feel the difference. So we look at the stars at night, and here we actually can see stars at night. Hallelujah. I think it's like one thread that humanity has left. Like, if enough of us can see the stars at night, we're going to be okay for a little longer. That ancient connection, how small and how vast life is. When we look at the stars, it's a fun thing to tell an 8-year-old that you can tell the difference between a planet and a star. So tell your 8-year-old, the planet, the light of the planet, doesn't twinkle because it's reflected light, so it's steady. It's just a solid light. So it's reflected light, like in a mirror. It's just on. And something in us would like to find that kind of steady, reliable brightness. So look at the stars and see how they are not steady and they are not reflected. They are their own source of light. And therefore, there's a pulsing, there's a twinkling. There's uncertainty. Is it going to be the last twinkle? Krishnamurti talks in a really simple way in the end. His language is not so simple sometimes, but basically, I love to hear him saying in different ways again and again that all we do in life is stop imitating, take away the imitation. And what's left then is our place, which he calls creativity. And to get a sense of what he means by creativity, it would be when creativity is happening. The mind happens in its place. It doesn't come out of its place. It helps. And he further said in another question and answer, someone asked about sexuality. And the question was not just about sexuality, but our sexual problem. And Krishnamurti's lovely response was, your sexual or our sexual problem, the sexual problem, in fact, will no longer be a problem when we let the creativity flow. Does that give some, it's not that you or I necessarily or are even interested in fully understanding Krishnamurti's creativity in this second, but if that gives enough of a thread for you to follow through or not, now you could, if you want to ask anything. I think let it be open, but at least some threads that can he talks about He says, you can't turn to any system. You cannot look to any system. And he says, if each of us individually, and he doesn't mean individualistically, but each of us doing what we can, not looking for the reflected light, but being inside our heart, the given heart, not that extra melodramatic thing. If each of us begins to free ourselves from all imitation and thus begins to realize that creative life, that creative energy which is free, comma, spiritual. So we're not having to invent spirituality or find out how to be spiritual. We're undoing and undoing and undoing. We're untangling, unknotting. And that creative energy is already free, is spiritual. And just by letting it be us, this transcending down into the body, we start to realize what he calls that creative life. So those words sound again like really big, and then we would again think it's something other than just simple twinkling. It's not some big billboard steady state. It's a creative uncertainty. And then spontaneous action. And again, action not as we think of it as necessarily outer action. Sunya sahaj manasumi pragat bhai ek jyoti. So we had in the first retreat this word man for thinking and emotion, let's say. Mind and its thinking and emotion activity. The mind remembers sumi, sunya sahaj. So this word sahaj that cats can show us a lot about, actually. We're born with it. We can't get out of our connection from that ease or that given deep heart or whatever. Sunya sahaj, so this groundless ground that we've been mentioning, this kind of staying open to the marvelous that comes and not trying to turn back and count it and grab it. Sunya, as in sunyata, as in emptiness. So we can't hold it, but it has a definite quality of being already given, of ease, of simplicity, of nothing extra. The mind remembers sunya sahaj, man. So even the thinking and emotion, our little mind remembers somehow. So it comebacks together too. It comes back together with this light-handed, light-hearted place, so-called place, inside the deep heart. Pragat bhai ek jyoti, a light happens to come clear, happens to become visible. Pahi padush ki main, and again I have a word missing that I think must be bhumi, but we'll just leave it out. Niralamb johot. To that purush, which can be called being, it can be called a person. To that person, or to that being, or to that presence, that radiates in connection, or to that deep heart from which radiates a quality of freedom of being, quality of power, quality of gentleness, a quality of no separation, quality of source, quality of wordless communication and collaboration. In a strange, wonderful, unique, strangely, wonderfully, uniquely, peculiarly, like in a, we can say, weird and surreal way, the small bit offers itself to that. So sometimes we get a sense of when our thinking mind and our conditioned emotional mind, we sometimes get a sense of when they're in their place for a moment, when they're not burning with busyness and pain and running away from ourselves. We sometimes get a sense of it in its place. Even the small mind in its place. As a remembering of that light-hearted light touch, as a coming together with it. A light is clear, obvious. And for no reason, wonderfully, strangely, weirdly, surreally, even I, even that separate self, even I am in it. Even I love that creativity. Tahi purush ki me blank niralam bajohot. It's strange and it's surreal because we are interacting and we are working together and we are individual and we are not separate. And there is communication and there are communication gaps. And there is a sense of ease and at the same time, this power that is liquefying us. And so at the same time, turning liquid. So, like, I always hesitate, but it's such a good example. The caterpillar to butterfly, what happens in between? The caterpillar to butterfly transformation is something that's so easy. As an example, that we shouldn't bother to say it. But if we actually go into what happens from caterpillar to butterfly, apparently, is it's not just like that that little worm starts to like stretch out some wings from the skin, but that little caterpillar turns completely liquid. So it's as if there's no trace between. We can't trace the story. And so it's that little me even jumps in to the creativity. And there's we can't trace back. It's not like those little flaps of skin started having different color and spreading out. Something much more mysterious and weird, peculiar, flimsy, subtle, gross. So, Jessica and Katora, who've also been like utterly heroes in this whole time with the death and the aftermath of the death, And meanwhile, playing slime games with Jan, pretending to have slime lunch and slime hair and slime bath. And I just had an email, this really bizarre, from Jessica's husband, Nico, who was here for the beginning of the whole thing. That his friend's book called something slime, yes. Something like, oh, I'll have to write it on the board because it's too weird. It's a serious book. It's an academic book. And it's talking about slime and how modern images and relation to slime is leaving out the creativity, leaving out the fact that our ancestor is slime. It's true. Leaving out the life, the aliveness in slime. The reason we don't like slime is because it's so alive. How many bacteria we could never count. Slime. I really don't know in Spanish. But it's like algo muy baboso, que sería si algo se muere, y se descompone, y se convierte en un líquido. Pero no es un líquido quieto, es un líquido oloroso y activo. So, I didn't have the word, so I explained. Are you joking or shall I?
No,
I'm
asking.
Okay. If something dies, it was my example, sorry, that comes to mind. It's not just this waste material that then stays like that. It already starts participating in life in a new way. Life takes it, digests it, and it starts to liquefy, usually. And it's a living, alive, smelly process and material that is nourishing. And we don't know where it's going to, what it's going to be, where it's going. Like, so feeling that like primordial quality and the primordial creativity, the primordial place, ancient, impersonal, and unknown that we can act upon or act from. So there is not a knowing of what I'm doing. And so I just want to spread that out a little bit. What that means is that we can be helping each other in so many ways and being helped in so many ways just by being really simple and accepting what's given and staying there and not letting hope and fear get us out of our seat. We just stay, no matter what, inside the deep heart, where we are no longer away from anyone. So inside that there's not inside. There's not direction. And from there, we may do something for someone, and they really appreciate it. And we don't need to feel guilty that we didn't realize we were doing it for them. And the appreciation can still come. It was really helpful for that person. Even though it wasn't that you remembered that person and because of that thought, you did that thing. So we can be free of the need to reassure each other that I'm thinking of you, because we are you. And doing the best that I can from that will be helpful and can be appreciated. There can be gratitude. So we don't need to say only, like, really, I didn't do anything other than what I had to do. So we can acknowledge that it can be helpful, and we can also acknowledge that impersonal touch so that we don't make too much of someone who seems to be so helpful. That we don't make too much of that as a place to get reassurance. And we keep with that God give us rain when we expect sun. The place that wants to be free. And just to put together the slime and that love. It's the powerful, uncomfortable transformation that is happening.
So is it the same place that feel loved? Because when you talk about the ego, the place that, you know, is looking for your affection, for someone else's affection, for smile, for heart, for approval. But then if we manage not to be with ego, then what gets the sense of I'm loved?
Yeah.
Is it this, we need to be unconditional for...
Yeah. We can practice I am loved until we keep remembering enough that we're more often and more easily falling into our place, which is love. So then loved and loving and just love. And we need to help each other and ourselves playfully feel I am loved, so that there's less urgency in the demand. And we can stop looking for where it's not going to come from. We can stop looking for that reflection, having split ourselves, come back home to where it is. And so the process might be like, whether I'm loved or not, there's nothing I can do about it. And so therefore, I can't care. I can't get up out of hope and fear that I am or I'm not loved. So I better feel, just sitting here, something good, however subtle, flimsy, sleazy, whatever. And that does take us across the sense of separation that tells me I'm not loved. So it's both. Like, it so helps. I don't know where we would be, I don't know where I would be without how many times encouragement and touch and expressions of care. It helps. And it helps to be inside, finding our ways. May I feel loved, may I feel loved, may I feel loved, may I feel loved. Whatever way you find to feel loved. And going, if we can, when we can, straight to the point, like somewhere in our being, I trust that there is that place where, that I describe my uncle and his mother. I think that's in us somewhere. I think it comes with the package.
Because so far what I can see is that most of the time the ego is what meets this place.
And yeah.
So when we make the ego dissolve, what is this place?
Yeah.
You make us know we are loved.
Well, then it's more an active loving. Even of the little. Am I loved? Or even of the little, I'm not loved. That it's okay, even that, like, so long-term contraction I'm not loved, and I can't open in case I get another sign that I'm not loved. But inside there too is love. And gradually from inside, from outside, something starts to happen that we come undone. But we do need to let everything, all of us, come in. And it brings more and more power to our being. And then it is surreal to find an expression of care happening in an impersonal way. It is weird, but it's not like it's not genuine. It's just free. So it's a different kind of exchange. It's not an exchange of demand. It's an exchange in freedom. And so then it's more like maybe a recognition or that scent, like that the Swami, his smile, like we're working together. We don't know what's going to happen. And it's okay. And more is not needed in this moment. Does it fit your question or still? So it's an exploration. We can sense when there's less sense of separation, less sense of hoping or fearing. More a sense of being inside deep heart. What's acting, what's meeting? What is there giving and receiving? Does that make sense here? Like what is the quality? What are the qualities? What is the That's an exploration I sense you would have fun with. And even when all of the glass walls seem to be there, even when imitation is on, even when looking for recognition is on, still feeling in the background for okayness, freshness, and just feeling like how flimsy all this is really, however persistent and tough and well practiced. Even so, it's so flimsy and transparent. And we can feel something else too. And so what is that, and how does that meet someone else? Is there someone else? Is there something else? And what is the atmosphere that comes off of that quality of being together? And just the cat was walking through, and cats have that. There's something that Gurdjieff talks about cats and horses as being a good example of spiritedness. So you can just check out the cat or the horse and just Anything more?
If those things you said, it comes with a package when we are born, what happens to break this good functioning? I believe a baby just, it's alive, with that love inside, what happens?
Yeah. So, in the some of the Buddhist traditions, they say that being born a human on earth is, they say, the only place where it's possible to awaken. To awaken. Because there's the right balance of easy and hard, pleasure and pain. So I think I would like to leave it as a mystery, and maybe if I put it in a, what comes as a kind of simple thing. I would also like to back up and say maybe also before we're born, that's there. And as we're born, maybe. And I would like to avoid trying to describe what an infant feels, because having been through infancy with two, each child is so different. And I think it's really hard to know what they're feeling. But there is a quality that people often feel around really small babies that's similar to what some people feel around people who are dying. That there is for some people, whether it's the infant's experience or not, I don't know. Or whether it's the dying person's experience, I don't know. But it, people do mention that around really young babies and around people who are dying, there's it's easier to feel a certain quality that we could call love, that I tried to describe what I felt with my uncle and his mother. And so whether it's the infant's experience or the dying person's experience or before we're born, or I don't know, but maybe it's part of us. And maybe it's important to have some deep sense of it and to learn through our experience that it doesn't depend on any situation. And it can come through more clearly in some interactions or in some situations with some practices. But it's not bound, it's not a slave to anything. And that could be in any situation. The full freedom. Not that I control my life this way and then I feel good, and that's my spiritual practice. But feeling the company of each of us who've gone through everything. And the possibility of meeting each other with or without any interaction. By going inside. So it seems to for me it seems to be about trust and finding a trust that's not wanting to land somewhere. Okay, mommy is going to always feed me. But even if mommy always wants to feed me, life is not going to let her. Sometimes. And then her life probably doesn't let her. And whose fault is it? It happens that way. Every time, somehow. And so if we can stop taking what happened bad to us as a punishment or a mark against us, and what happens good to us as a mark for us that we did right, and get on with it. Finding a trust that's not dependent but independent, with uncertainty but aliveness. And so again, it's almost like the question of like the arrow and where did it come from and why and what is it made of, and just take it out. And this is the other way, like, there's that love. Why? Who knows? Why is the connection not easy? Who knows? But let's just get there and let ourselves be there and feel that it's okay to be there. It's safe to be there. It's where we want to be. Even our mind is going to be happy there. Once it dies, once it gets turned into slime, once all the ways we hold back get So I didn't say much about that, but again, that the transformation, there can be somewhere a background sense of ease, or I can't do anything else, at least. I refuse to get up, even though this is difficult, this is challenging, every assumption I ever had, etc. I refuse to get up, I stay in my place. So even if there's some ease, it can be terrifyingly uncomfortable to be slimed. So just it being the last evening of the retreat, I'll leave it open again if there's anything else to say or ask. One more time. Okay, thank you for everything. It's such a pleasure to be with you.